right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Glad that you came to worship with us today. And as Cade said, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. We're also going to be looking at John chapter 12. So go ahead and be finding your way over to John chapter 12 as well. We'll flip over there in just a moment. Last week, we started a new series of messages that we're calling Unashamed. We're living in a world that seems to be going more and more crazy each and every day. And in light of recent events in our country, I believe that it has become more and more clear that it is past time for the church to stand up and to live unashamed in a broken world. A world where violence has become the norm, where truth is up for what anybody wants to believe it to be. Where the things that God calls right, the world calls wrong. And the things that God calls wrong, the world celebrates in the streets. I also believe this, that we are living in the last days. Now, we don't know how long the last days are going to be. I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but the rapture of the church was supposed to happen this last week. Anybody hear that? So I got news for you. When people start talking about the rapture of the church and they start saying it's going to be on this day, you can almost count that it's not going to be on that day. Somebody might accidentally guess it one day, but Jesus himself said, no one knows except for the Father when the return is going to be. But I believe that we are living in the last days. And I can promise you this, that we are closer to the return of Jesus Christ today than we have ever been. Would you agree with that? If you don't, then you need to let that process a little bit. We are closer today than we've ever been. Tomorrow will be closer than we've ever been, and it will continue. But we know that Christ is going to come again, and our time here on this earth is short. Even if we don't see the return of Christ, but we die, we know that one day we will die if his return doesn't happen before then. And the older I get, the more I realize just how short our time here is on this earth to make a difference. To live unashamed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is past time for the true followers of Christ to stop living in fear, to stop living in shame, to stop living in confusion, and to start living unashamed. I believe that part of the reason that we live in confusion sometimes is we don't realize exactly what is happening around us. We look in this crazy world and we say, things aren't right. We understand that. Things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. But we lose track of what is really going on. That we are living in a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle that's going on around us each and every day. Today we're going to be talking about standing firm against the enemy's attack. And it's good for the church to be reminded that what we're seeing happening around us isn't just attack on individuals. It's not just attack on the way that we want to believe the things that we think are true because of God's word and they say they're true. It's not just attack on that. There's a much bigger realm that is in play. And there's a spiritual battle that's going on. And that spiritual battle that is going on is a spiritual battle for the souls of people. That Satan wants to take down as many as he can. And we need to remember that as we look at the craziness that's going on. And I believe it is time when we consider that. We understand what is going on. We understand that our time is short. That we need to live each and every day unashamed. And as Paul said and what we looked at last week in Romans 1:16, that we need to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Live by faith, living in the truth of the gospel. That there is still power today in the gospel of Jesus Christ to change lives. Do we believe that? How do we believe that? How do we know that? How do we know it to be true? Well, if you've experienced that change, then you understand that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to change lives. And we live in a world that needs to hear that as much today as ever before. So I want us to begin this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 in just a few minutes. And then again, we'll turn over to John chapter 12. But first, let me give you a little background of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, who was in prison at the time. And in this letter, Paul spends the first few chapters reminding believers who they are in Jesus Christ. And that they've been chosen, they've been redeemed, they're adopted, they're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then as he moves into the latter chapters, he shifts towards how we are to live out our identity in the world. In a world that is often hostile to who we are as Christians. In a world that is hostile and becoming more and more hostile to the truths of God's word. A world that doesn't care anything about what you say about God. And as a matter of fact, we're living in a time where if you do say something about God, they will go just the opposite. And it's almost like we see this battle playing out right in front of our eyes. So as we look at chapter 6, Paul wants to make something absolutely clear. And that is that following Jesus means that we are in a battle. But it's, again, not a battle against people. It's a battle against the powers of darkness. And because of that, we need to be equipped, we need to be prepared, and we need to be ready for that battle. Let's pray together before we read this passage this morning. Father, I just pray right now that you would open up our hearts, open up our eyes to see what you would have us to see. God, we would be ready to hear from you. We'd be ready to respond to you in whatever way that you lead us this morning. Thank you for your presence that's with us. Thank you for your word that speaks into our hearts and into our lives. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. So beginning in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, notice he says a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan to the and that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. If there's ever been any doubt that we are in a spiritual battle, I think all that doubt can be wiped away when you just look at the events that are happening around us each and every day. When you look at the chaos that our world seems to be in. When you look at the tragedy after tragedy that keeps playing out before our eyes. When you see the violence upon violence with people that have cold hearts and don't care what they do to other people. When you see the brokenness upon brokenness, it is a reminder that what Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 is not just theory, but it's a reality. But I want you to understand something, that even in the darkness, even with all the craziness that's going on, there's some exciting things that are happening. There is good news. In the middle of the darkness, something unexpected is beginning to happen. Something that the enemy did not want to happen is starting to take place in our world around us today. And we're able to witness it. We're able to be a part of it. And what is happening is the spark of revival. We're seeing it in our country. We're seeing it in other places around the world. People are gathering together, having prayer meetings with one another, studying God's word with one another. People are coming to know Christ in many different ways as the gospel message is being spread in places that you're told that you can't spread the gospel message. The gospel is being proclaimed when it was told you must be silent. But hear me on this. And don't miss this. Whenever God begins to move, we have an enemy that gets very upset. When God begins to move, we have an enemy that begins to rage. Revival always upsets the enemy. And Satan will not sit back quietly as the Spirit of God stirs in the hearts of people. He will push back harder. He will attack stronger. And he will target believers with more intensity. And that's why we have to set in our minds that I am going to live unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, that's easy for us to sit in this room and say that's what we're going to do. But I'm telling you, we need to set our minds on it, set our hearts on it. So when we walk out those doors and when we go out into our world, which is still a pretty conservative place, but it's even becoming a little bit harder and harder. But when we go out into our world, that we are prepared, that we are ready to stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. We are in a spiritual battle, and we must be on guard. We must be ready. And we must understand that the attacks that we face are not just political, they're not just cultural, they're not just personal, but they are spiritual. Dr. Ben Carson recently said that much of what we are seeing in our culture, the rise of gender ideology, the dismantling of the family, the confusion over identity, is evidence of the forces at work beyond the visible. And he is absolutely right. These aren't random shifts that we're seeing. These are direct assaults from the enemy aimed at twisting what God designed and silencing the truth of his word. And here's what you and I need to know, that we are not on the sidelines. There are no sidelines in this battle that's going on. Every one of us are involved in this battle. If you are a follower of Christ, you're involved in the battle. If you're not a follower of Christ, you're involved in the battle. Because this is much bigger than us. It's a spiritual battle that, again, is going on for the souls of man. And we need to be engaged. There's no sidelines for us to sit on. How do I know we're to be engaged? Paul doesn't say, if you want to get involved in the battle, then suit up, armor up. He doesn't give that option. He says, here's what you have to do. You have to put on the full armor of God, every one of you, because you are in the battle, whether you like it or not. And he says, you need to suit up. If someone's not engaged in battle, they don't need to put on the army uniform, right? They don't need to put on that armor if they're not going to go into the battle, if they're just going to sit on the sidelines. Think of a football game. You go to a football game and all the players down on the field, they're suited up. They're ready for the game, right? They're ready to go. But all the ones in the stands, the ones that are doing all the yelling and complaining at the refs and all that stuff, they're not suited up. They're not going down on the field. Some would probably like to, but they can't. They're not engaged. They're on the sidelines. But we are engaged in this battle. And we need to remember that each and every day. And he says, put on the full armor of God. I want you to understand that the armor of God is not heavy armor for us. I saw something recently. It made me laugh. Somebody had stepped on a scale. How many of you step on a scale in the morning and you don't like what you see? Don't answer. I don't need to know. But many of us, we don't like what we see on the scale. And I saw this. It popped up. And this lady stepped on the scale. And she said, man, the armor of God sure is heavy. So you can use that when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you need to lose some weight. I can't. It's the armor of God that's on me. It's weighing me down. It's heavy. But listen to me. The armor of God is not heavy for us because Christ carries it. God provides it. And all we have to do is suit up. We armor up. And he gives us the strength to go forward with his armor that is on us. So this is not something heavy for us to do. Now, in order for us to get a picture of this and understand this more, I think it's good for us to look back and to be reminded how the enemy works. And we're going to see that in the life of a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. We see this in John chapter 12. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 disciples. He was close to Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He heard the sermons of Jesus. He watched the miracles of Jesus. He was right there. He saw all of it. He heard all of it firsthand. Judas was also involved in the ministry that was going on around Jesus. But something happened with Judas. And what happened was there was a spiritual battle that was going on, and Satan got a hold of Judas. It reminds me of what we looked at a couple of weeks ago when we noticed how the enemy attacked Adam and Eve in the garden. How he went after them and he twisted what God said. He twisted God's word a little bit, and he got in and he was able to cause them to stumble and to fall. And we see that in our passage this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of Judas, one of the first things that always comes to my mind is that when Jesus was in the garden and he was going to be arrested, Judas had told those that were going to arrest him, "The one that I kiss is the one that you need to take. That's the man." And you see Judas coming into the garden, and he comes up and he grabs Jesus, places a kiss on his cheek, and then Jesus was arrested. But I want you to understand something. That betrayal of Jesus didn't begin that night in the garden inside of Judas. It began further back. And that's what we're going to look at in our story this morning. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, notice it says, 6 days before the Passover celebration, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." So here's the story. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. What an incredible story that was. And in this story, you have Jesus showing up at the home of Lazarus, and Martha is serving, and she comes to Jesus with this expensive perfume, and she is kneeling down at his feet. She is washing his feet in an act of worship. And you have Judas Iscariot, who looks at that and he says, "That's very expensive perfume. That's worth a year's worth of wages. Just think what that could do for the poor." Now that sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, yeah, let's take that money and we should be looking after the poor. We should be helping the poor. But I love that John doesn't leave this out. He was not concerned about the poor. That's the way that it came across, but he was not concerned about the poor. He was looking out for his own greed. He was looking at that going, if we would have just sold that perfume, we could have put that money into the purse. I could have taken out a little bit. We could give some to the poor to make it look like we're doing the right thing. But his intentions were not what they appeared to be. He looked at this act of worship and he immediately criticized it. On the outside, it looks good. But when you look at his heart, you see that there's a much bigger problem. Where did Judas get a thought like that? Where did Judas think that what she was doing was wrong? He got a thought from the enemy, from the devil. Listen, nothing that you ever lavish on Jesus Christ is too much. Nothing that you ever bring to worship him is too much. You can't be too generous in your love for Jesus Christ, but Judas says, this is wrong. You could do something else besides do this with what you got. So it's obvious at this point that the devil is already working on his mind. And Judas is thinking the devil's thoughts. He has attacked Judas mentally. The first thing that we see is that the enemy attacks mentally. The enemy will attack the mind. Have you ever noticed how a tiny thought can snowball into a huge problem? Have you ever noticed how just a little tiny seed of a thought that's planted into your mind will multiply and multiply? It becomes this huge problem. We see people, we hear this all the time. You scroll through your feed on Facebook and you see someone's vacation. You see someone else's new house. You see their fancy new car. And all of a sudden you get this thought, why do they get that and I don't? And then it turns into, they don't deserve that, but I do. And then before you know it, you don't even like that person anymore because they're doing better than you are, because maybe they were able to clip a photo of a new car out of somewhere and paste it there and make you think it was theirs. But we begin to think these things. It just takes a little seed that causes our thoughts to go places that we didn't mean for them to go. And there is a pattern here that the enemy does this. He does it over and over. He did it in the garden. He did it with Judas, and he still does it with us today. How the enemy works: by planting just little seeds of doubt, little seeds of confusion, little seeds of questioning whether what God is saying is true or not, little seeds of questioning, is God's word really relevant for us in our society today, because things have changed so much than the way they used to be. Those little seeds starting to question and saying, I don't like this. I don't like the way they said that. That's not the way I would have done it. And these little seeds begin to grow and grow. And that's exactly what happens in the life of Judas. Think about Judas. The thought began with greed. The money could have been mine. From there, it grew into criticism. This worship is a waste. And eventually it led to betrayal. And Satan knows that if he can win the battle of your mind, then he doesn't have to work very hard on anything else. That's why Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 4 is to guard your mind, guard your thoughts with the things of God, with the things that are pure, with the things that are right, with the things that are just, with the things that are praiseworthy. Flood your mind with those things. Don't give the enemy room to work in your mind. The problem is, we live in a world where we've got all kinds of stuff going on. We've got our phones that we can pick up and we can see things that we couldn't see not just very many years ago. We can see good stuff. We can see bad stuff. And sometimes it's even the good stuff that comes into our mind. It may be good, but if it's not what God wants for us, then that means it's not good. But we fill our minds with all kinds of stuff and we give the enemy room to work. The way we think will shape our lives. If the enemy can fill our minds with lies, he can lead us toward destruction. But if we fill our minds with God's truth, that's when we walk in freedom. That's when we know that His truth walks with us and that we can stand unashamed for Him. Second thing that we see is that the enemy attacks morally. He attacks the heart. We see this over in chapter 13 in verse 2. I want you to look over there and see what happens. It says it was time for supper. The supper that he's talking about is the last supper that Jesus had with the disciples in the upper room. And it was time for that last supper as they gathered together. And the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. He has his mind, has those little thoughts, those little seeds that he has planted in there. And now he moves to the heart. And it says that Satan is already working. He is already tempting him in his heart to betray Jesus. That is a big shift from what we just saw in the first part where he has his mind. Now it's going deeper. It's going into the heart. I want you to think of it like this. Satan prompted Judas as he planted this. Think of a foundation that has a crack in it. If the foundation of your home has a crack in it, a little small crack may not be that big of a problem. Every crack in the foundation is a little bit of a problem, but it may not be that big of a problem. But if you end up getting water in that crack, and that water freezes, that crack is going to expand and it's going to get bigger. And that's exactly what happens. The crack starts in our mind, but then it expands to our heart, the foundation. And when it gets to the foundation of the heart, then Satan is able to do a greater work. And that's why Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything that we do flows from the heart. So if Satan can twist your heart, he can lead you to compromise your integrity. If he can twist your heart, he can lead you to compromise in your relationship and your witness. And that's what happened with Judas. The thought of greed turned into the desire of betrayal. Because what you believe ultimately determines how you behave. Think about this. For many, many years now, we've been teaching our children that you have evolved from a lower life, a lower form. That somewhere along the way, out of this big green scum, a tadpole began to exist. That tadpole grew, and somewhere along the way, it turned into a monkey. And then somewhere beyond that, that monkey evolved into a man. And we've been filling minds with this for many years, that all you are is a higher form of an animal. That's what we're teaching when we teach that. I heard this many years ago and it stuck with me, that I once was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a monkey with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banyan tree. And now I'm a monkey with a PhD. And that's what we're putting into the minds of our kids and have been. Now these kids are adults. But we've been putting in there that you're just somehow a higher form of the animal life. And so if you're an animal and that's all you are, then guess what? It is okay to live like an animal. And when you live like an animal, all that means is that if another animal that you do not like gets in your way, stands in your way, says something that you don't like, then you have the right to take out that other animal, because all that is an animal. And it really doesn't matter. And because of this kind of teaching that we've been allowing for years and years and years, we sit back and we wonder, why are we in the mess that we're in? We are much higher than just an animal of some form. We are a human being that was created by God, knitted together in our mother's womb, with a purpose and a plan that God has for us, with a soul, much more than just some animal out there. And so that seed was planted, and we began to believe it, and then it began to affect our behavior. What you believe will ultimately determine how you act, how you behave. Mental departure always leads to moral depravity. And the devil will begin with the mind, he'll move into the heart, and he wants to replace the love of God for the love of sin. He wants to take the love of God out of your heart and put the love of sin in its place. The third thing that we notice is that the enemy attacks you motivationally. He attacks your will. I want you to look over it. Verse 27 in chapter 13, and I want you to see what it says, because this is a very chilling verse when you look at it. Notice what he says. Verse 27, he says, when Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, hurry and do what you're going to go do. They're having their supper. Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Jesus breaks the bread, and it says at that moment, the devil entered in. Judas allowed the devil to have a little part of his mind that worked down into the heart. Now the devil's got control. I picture it like this. If you're driving down the road and you're driving the car, you got a hold of the steering wheel. Where's that car going to go? It's going to go wherever you turn that steering wheel to go. But if you're in that car and you're driving down the road and you allow someone else to take control of that steering wheel, then you no longer have control of where the car goes. The one that's got the hands on the steering wheel has control. And so when we give Satan our mind, when he works into our heart, it's not long before he's reaching over and he's taking the steering wheel. And now he is driving that car and he is going to take us where he wants to go. And that's exactly what happens in the life of Judas. Once your will is captured, you're no longer just thinking about sin. Now you're carrying it out. In Judas, we see the progression. We see how the enemy attacks. We see that it began with his mind, with just a thought. It moved to his heart with a desire, and now it moves to his will with betrayal, and it destroyed him. But that doesn't have to be our story. That's not our story unless we allow that. Look back over at Ephesians chapter 6, where we began, if you would. That's why Paul is adamant. He says, listen, put on the full armor of God. You need the full armor of God. You're in a battle. You have an enemy that wants to take control of your mind, take control of your heart, take control of your will. So dress for this battle. And he says to put on the belt of truth, which holds us up firmly in the truths of Scripture. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our hearts from compromise. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, which gives us a readiness and a confidence that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take up the shield of faith, which extinguishes the fiery arrows of doubt and fear that comes from the enemy. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which equips us to fight back with the truth of God's word. And I don't want you to miss this one part. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. And the reason that we're to put on the helmet of salvation, because that's what secures our mind with the assurance of who we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Because if the enemy can plant doubt about your salvation, if the enemy can plant doubt in your mind of who you are in Jesus Christ, if the enemy can plant just a seed of doubt there that your salvation is not secure, that your salvation is not settled, then your mind is now on very shaky ground. A dangerous place to be. So put on the helmet of salvation. You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've seen what happens when the enemy tries to shut down the gospel. When the enemy tries to silence the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And don't make any mistake about it, that's exactly what's been going on. That's the spiritual battle. Satan wants to shut down the gospel message. He doesn't want the gospel message to be spread. But instead of retreat, revival is breaking out. Instead of the church being crushed, the church is rising up. Instead of people turning and running and being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, people are starting to stand up and say, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation. Why? Because that is where power is. In the gospel message of Jesus Christ and in our salvation with Him. I don't know if you watched what happened last Sunday or not, but it is estimated that well over 20 million people around the world watched in person or watched by other means the funeral service of Charlie Kirk. And this was very amazing. If you didn't watch it, you missed a great worship service. You missed a service that was not just about a man, but it was about a faith. It was about a hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When that pastor gave that invitation that day, many people stood up and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some that you could see on television. Some that we won't know about till we're in heaven one day. And we see the results of what happened just on that one day. We saw people. I saw some big name people that people in the world look at as powerful people. that I don't know where they stand with God, but they were sitting there listening and watching and seeing what God was doing. And I looked at that and see, if God can do that at a funeral service, what can God do with us if we go out these doors and we go into our world and we begin to live our lives unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know that's where the power of salvation lies for anyone who will believe. If we truly believe that we're in a dark world and that there's a spiritual battle going on, and that spiritual battle is for the souls of men, and we have the answer to that, why would we not go out and live with boldness, live with confidence? You say, well, how can I live with boldness and confidence? I don't know God's word like I should. Well, dive into God's word, get to know it, because it's very important, very powerful. But here's what we have. If your life has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you know the power that it has to save. And that's what our world needs to hear. Your story they can't deny. Your story they can't go against, because that's your story of how Jesus Christ changed your life. But listen. If you don't know the power of the gospel, if you don't understand the power of the gospel, if you don't understand what that means, then today I challenge you to open up your heart to the power of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who will believe. What is that? It's understanding that Jesus Christ died in your place. He died for your sins. He went to the cross. Keep this in mind. The enemy has been working very hard this week to shut down the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that's what he was doing in the mind of Judas. He wanted to shut down the movement before it ever began. But here's what happened. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he died for our sins. And at that moment, our victory was won through what Jesus Christ did for us. And then Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It gave power to the disciples who just a few days before Jesus rose from the dead were fleeing in fear. It gave them boldness. It gave them power to live unashamed, because now they knew what the gospel message was all about. And it's continued to pass down. What Satan wanted to stop through Judas has continued on for over 2,000 years, and that's why we're here today. And because of the power of the gospel message, lives are still being changed today. And if your life has been changed by the gospel message, go out and share that unashamed with a world who needs to hear it. And if your life has not been changed, today, open up your life to Jesus Christ. Surrender your life to Him. Receive the gospel message. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the greatest decision you will ever make. The story of the gospel. There's power and what Christ has done for us. A power that the world needs to hear. But do this. Suit up. Put on the armor. And go. Because you're already engaged in the battle. Be prepared. And be ready. We have the opportunity around us each and every day to share that gospel message. We need Christians who will share that gospel message with boldness. Boldness. Because we know that power, because we have received that power when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I just want you to consider for a moment where you're at in your relationship with Christ. Maybe you've been close by. You've seen what God is doing, but you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you today just open up your heart to Him? And allow Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Experience this power of the gospel. For those of you that have done that, I would say just spend some time with God today. And God, am I living my life unashamed for You? Am I taking advantage of the opportunities that You have placed around me each and every day to be a bold witness for You? Father, again, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. God, in a world that's going crazy, there's no question about it. God, I thank You for the light that is shining. I thank You for the light of Your people that brings hope into that darkness. And God, I pray that You would help us, each one of us today, to be that light. That when we go out of this place, that we would go out carrying that hope for a world to see. God, I pray for those that are struggling right now, those that are facing difficulty. We pray for the Kirk family. We pray for those that have been engaged in their ministry. And God, I know that the attacks are happening, but God, we pray for our people here too, because attacks are happening right here with us. God, give us your strength. Give us your hope. Help us to carry it everywhere that we go with boldness. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we dismiss today. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then again, I make that challenge. I make that plea. We don't know how much time we have left. Today is the day of salvation. If you'd like to visit with somebody about that, we would love to take that opportunity. Shane and I, Kate, we'll hang around. Marcella, we'll be around. Find one of us and say, I want to know more about that. We'd love to take that opportunity and share that with you. The most important decision you'll ever make. But as we go out, remember, we're in a battle, and it's a real battle, but we have a real Savior who has conquered the things of this world. And he goes with us everywhere that we go. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Have a great week.